Good afternoon, everybody. And in this week's edition of the Social Media Unit's podcast on the social media law and defamation, I'd like you to introduce you to the team that generally oversees these types of legal issues that many people have heard of in today's media. So I'm sitting here opposite Mark.
Hi, everyone.
I've got Ellis in the Southampton office and Owen in the Southampton office.
Hey.
Hi. And interestingly enough, for those listeners, we've got quite a range of ages here. I'm the old boy. I'm a middle-aged man, 55. We've got a younger solicitor in the 30s, two young solicitors in their 30s, and we've got a young trainee in his 20s. So we've got quite the broad span. And for those people listening who are particularly interested in wondering what we do, it's pretty much targeted, the services are targeted really at those people who are using social media and who have been affected by any postings or any types of conduct or harassment or silly or lewd comments that people say, which may well be defamatory. And we've seen over the last 10 years a massive increase in it. And so today's discussion really is quite a general discussion as to how we as people see this type of work, what we've learned so far in the last year based on the numbers of people who have instructed us, what can we do to help these people, and how best also to avoid getting into situations whereby you have to instruct solicitors. So pretty much a very general and random discussion, but would like those people who do and are considering instructing us to have a good listen to this podcast, and hopefully it will give you some indication as to what you need to do. So, Mark, I know you deal with a lot of inquiries. So, generally, how have you seen the initial? So you've been here a couple of years now. So how have you seen the development? And I'll bring the other guys in to add another perspective to it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, hello everyone. It's certainly something that has picked up massively over the period of 12 months, let alone 24 months. In terms of the age demographic, I have to be honest, I think it's actually quite broad. It seems to be, you know, those in their 20s that inquire, those in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, there really isn't, it's really, you know, a broad, a broad spectrum there. Now, what I'll say is that what we're finding in terms of the calls, really, I mean, the social media problem.
Let me just ask you this question. In terms of, we say, social media, identify whom we're talking about first. What are these companies that form this social media world? Who are they?
Well, okay. I mean, you know, in terms of all the different platforms, we're referring to Facebook. We're referring to, Instagram certainly is a link there with Facebook, Twitter, and indeed LinkedIn.
And YouTube. So for those listening, when you hear the term social media, you're talking about those providers that you are basically waking up to and going to bed with. They develop and encroach all our lives. And that's the social media what we're talking about. So presumably, guys, we're getting lots of inquiries from people who are on Facebook,
absolutely,
using Twitter, using Instagram, and let's explore how these have come to you. So Mark, explain the general type of approach you get from the Facebook person.
Okay, so we get an inquiry that comes in to say, look, I'm on Facebook. It could be either be an individual or it could be a company. So it would be a company page or it'd be an individual. And on their news feed, they're posting stuff, they're replying to comments on things. And of course, other people are commenting on posts that the person that's inquired to us as well. So what they're saying to us is, I have received or been inundated with comments from people that are either people I don't know or they're people I've had a run-in with, and they're now getting to a point where they're being defamatory. They're harassing me. They are really, you know, they're pulling me through just an awful ordeal that I cannot get out of. What can I do? And that's the question, you know, when you cut everything else out, normally someone's going to, you know, understandably want to explain to you in detail what it is that they are having to experience, and the comments, and some of it is really, really rude, you know, and you feel awful for
these examples, people. Examples, like anonymously, but what type of examples really rude?
Well, without using any expletives, you know, because some of them are quite, I think you can just literally your mind run wild with the sort of words that are being used. I think that the average issue that people are finding is that someone is claiming that they are certainly in the context of paedophilia, while also swearing about it as well. And they're making things up completely false. And they are now sharing things across the board on Facebook that these people are, you know, associated with these sorts of things.
So we've seen instances in the past where people have called each other nonces, people have called each other pedos, people have called each other druggies, people have called each other thieves, you know, you name every type of insult that potentially you wouldn't do face-to-face in the high street, people are doing them online. And that's causing a huge amount of harassment, huge amount of stress and a huge amount of damage to these individuals. And that's what we're picking up all the time.
Yeah, 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 for sure. In terms of it then going into something else from that initial post or comment, normally that's the starting block that people are experiencing. It's one post or one comment that, and I mentioned earlier about sharing things, and then that really is referencing when someone has posted something on Facebook, using Facebook, just Facebook as an example, and then they put it as an open forum. So it means that anyone throughout the public can actually see this particular post. And then when they've seen this post, they're allowing these other people to then share the same thing. The reason why people are sharing it, depending on the context of what's being said, is because they think that it's in the public interest that everyone needs to know about it. Or it's because they're the friends of these people that think, look, I'm your friend. I've always got your back. I'm going to share this as well. People need to know, you know, about this and whatever it is within the context of it. So that's the basis of it. But in terms of comments, it's little one word comments that are being made that could be a post that had absolutely nothing to do with this individual, but they are then commenting and referring to this individual in question. You know, that side of things is where you get that harassment, because it's constant. Every day that person wakes up, someone sent them a screenshot. They've said, look, that person's been doing it again. That person's been doing it. They've been saying this again. There's more things that have been shared. Now, of course, if you put that over into a company that's experiencing that, the damage that they're suffering is just, you can imagine, it's just outrageous. They are claiming they've done nothing wrong and these people are just trolls. Trolls meaning someone that just goes on, they don't even know you, they've got nothing to do with you, never experienced you before, they just experience, keyboard warriors is another way of saying it. They just like to go online and they like to just comment and share on things.
But then that has to be balanced against people who've got a genuine desire and need
against
to make
individual
comment, yeah, about, yeah, the business and review.
Yeah, understandably.
So really it's all about a bit of discipline, and it's all about, you know, how would you address someone in the street? How would you address someone in the old days when you used to write a letter? You wouldn't do any of this situation. You'd address someone politely and formally. You wouldn't speak like this. And this is what people are forgetting. People are abusing each other in an awful manner to order to get the point across.
And they're not only doing this, but they think they're protected behind the fact that they're doing it on a social media platform. It's online, it's a free country. They can say what they like without any recourse.
So Alice, tell me, if what's the procedure then? If you're sat at home and you feel that you are a victim of social media bullying, defamation, harassment, many people I come across are very powerless. So what would be your advice as to what that person needs to do?
One thing I would say is, of course, it is a kind of a ripple effect. So it's something that isn't necessarily going to go away. The more, especially with things being online, the more, as Mark said, the more it's shared and it's seen by more people, the more damage is done. So what I would suggest that people do is think about the content of the posts that are being made. Are these in any way potentially true? If they are, then legal action is likely to kind of fall at the first hurdle. However, if these posts are causing real damage to your reputation and causing you real issues, then the first step should always be seek legal advice. The issue that we have with this area of law is it can be quite expensive when it comes to kind of legal costs, mainly because it's just evidence-based, that in order to substantiate a claim for defamation or harassment.
Yeah, there's a lot of work.
You put forward so much evidence.
But does it mean, though, that if I write to Lord it or send it, I'm going to be in court within days? I mean, I don't want to get into... I've got a lot of money. I just want to spend a couple of hundred. Give me some indication as to what happens. What's the first stage of this process?
Yeah, so once a person comes to us, the first stage would be for us to contact the defamer directly. So you would open correspondence with them, explain the legal position, and request that they remove the posts, apologise for the posts, take immediate action to draw a line under the matter and stop it there. It's not a case of, like you say, we're going to run to the court door and that will be that. There's ways in which we will try and nip things in the bud. What? And with any legal matter, nipping it in the bud, resolving it so both sides are happy is the best and the most cost-effective.
What about the social media platform themselves, though, Ellis? I mean, just as a consideration there, we're obviously going to be wanting to open correspondence with that person. And I'm already imagining Michael is going to be coming on to what if you don't know the person in a minute. But you're going to want to try and get it removed ASAP, aren't you? So you're going to be wanting to contact the social media platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So the social media platforms are sort of the neutral middle person. So they will look at a post, and if they if it kind of goes against their guidelines in terms of being truthful and not offensive, then they will remove that. It can be sometimes difficult to kind of get them on your side and remove that quickly, which is why we kind of take the two-prong approach and also contacting the person directly if we can. But yes, in terms of trying to get those posts removed, always try and contact the social media platform as well to get that removed.
And importantly, for those listeners must understand that as soon as you notify Facebook, Twitter, etc., that the posts are defamatory, they are put on notice as of the date of that letter that they are publishing defamatory content, and they must take it down. If they don't take it down, then they are potentially opening themselves up to be added to any claim. So you'll have the person who's publishing it, and then you have the author of the comments, aren't necessarily the same people. So for those listeners who are looking at this, the first stage is for you to gather all the evidence that you have regarding the harassment, the defamation, whatever treatment that you feel you're suffering, and send that over to us. At which point then, we need to consider whether or not the contents of what you've sent us are indeed defamatory or harassment, because often they're not. And that review is undertaken by a solicitor, and that person then will decide whether or not, based on that information, it is necessary to write letters of claim to the Twitter and the Facebook and or to the author of the comments, at which point the fees will kick in. In terms of fees, massive question, we're generally pitch fees between 2 to 3 hours work, and so we generally ask for £500 on account to get these initial letters out. Thereafter, we're hopeful that that will work and that will be the end of it. But up to that point, any listener's liability is roughly, it could be more, depending if you send us a kitchen sink or only a small bundle of papers. But roughly speaking, the first stage is around 500 plus that.
So the exposure, your exposure is only going to be at that sort of money there. And you, more often than not, you feel that you're not just sitting back and just allowing these things to happen, you're finally taking action. So it's a positive step to take.
And Owen, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello, mate. Now, you're 21. You're a trainee. Why are you young people making all these horrible comments online and defaming and harassing people? Why are you...
Well, I think it's all kind of part to do with the culture now. It's kind of like we're all policing each other. So I say that in broad terms, because obviously when things happen that we don't like. Say, if someone sees a post and they're alleging some kind of paedophilia, that will be shared from person to person to person to person and go on and move as fast as it can through the community to kind of put people on notice.
You know in Twitter, we call it a retweet. In Facebook, yeah. What is that, like a like? If you get a like, if I like things, then people are going, so that's almost a retweet, is it, if you like it?
Yeah, so it's more of a share in terms of Facebook. Yeah. In terms of Instagram, it'll be put on someone's story, and then they would share that person's story, and it'll go on from post to post to post.
But Owen, just before you move on, you mentioned about culture there. So
yeah.
Are you... Not suggesting. I know that, you know, we're just having a general discussion here. But are you suggesting that culture has changed and the younger demographic are more likely to be jumping on the bandwagon when it comes to commenting on things? Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't agree with Michael then when he's just said, why is your age group, you know, doing this and doing that? Because I find certainly when the phone calls come in that it's across the board. It seems to be it's just...
indiscriminate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that just... it's just...
Sorry, Owen.
No, I really don't think it is, you know, your age group that are... that are doing it, and just them.
Ignorance.
But what I would say is that it's probably more likely these days that they, that the younger people are feeling maybe more protected because they've grown up with hiding behind a phone or hiding behind a computer rather than things that are confrontational having to happen face to face from the times before we had telephones.
Anyway, I'm old school, and let's just say what it is. It's just bloody ignorant, rude behaviour.
It is.
I think people these days are very hyper aware about what they think is good and what they think is bad and what people should know about other people, and it's a ripple effect,
yeah.
Especially on social media where, that, like you said, there's not that sort of physical interaction that's needed. One drop in the ocean can cause multiple ripples as it's shared and shared and shared, and the impact of one post can be massive in a very short amount of time. With the instant nature of the internet, everyone is a bit more hyper aware as to their beliefs, and therefore, like Owen said, the culture has shifted in that people are very quick to now judge or put their opinions on other people, and that then causes problems.
And I don't think...
I was just going to say, to go on from that, it's kind of what we saw with the whole fake news thing, where everybody was sharing around news that wasn't true, and then eventually people had to say, this isn't what happened. That's a microcosm of what's happening in this area.
I can't see, the social media companies can't get off the hook on this either, because I think they're massively culpable. I mean, the AI and the software behind it encourages this argument, this discourse, this type of you're on that side, we're on that side, and any types of expression of hate or dislike of racial or sexual or new, you know, a particular brand or assigned to, you know, that is, I mean, I'm a big fan of them actually, but it's someone on Twitter who's been trying to get Sainsbury's to pull the plug on this GB News advertising. You know, so it's polarised. Those people who are anti-Brexit have polarised Sainsbury's, and those people are Brexit are saying, you know, you should shop with Sainsbury's. So the algorithms don't help. So I think they contribute to the author's willingness to, because it adds to the whole mess, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. Although I think if, you know, someone could compartmentalise everything that you've just said there to be very broad. But if you actually make it specifically just about people posting or commenting on things that someone has shared or has posted, I think the reality is, are these social media platforms, do they have a duty when they are the provider? They're a shop window where people can say, look, I'm going to take part in this platform's, you know, experience. Is it down to them to be able to monitor that someone is saying something that is not appropriate? It could be personal. It could not be something, or, you know, with a book when it's racial or anything like that. It could be a personal thing. Is it down to them to monitor it, or have they got to wait for someone to be able to contact them?
No, well, that's the key. I'm absolutely convinced they are responsible to monitor it. The amount of income they make, the amount of turnover they generate. You try getting hold of Twitter. You try getting hold of Facebook. It's practically impossible. You know, and
these people are earning billions.
You know, my turnover was $500,000. I picked the phone up within 3 rings. You know, it's just think about that. It is outrageous, and people should be, you know, remediating with their MP.
This is the problem. They've got rid of the human element of it. They're trying to run this sheer volume of
absolutely
people interacting through computers, and the computers don't understand what's right and wrong.
Exactly. They just and Parliament needs to wake up. Parliament needs to wake up, be strong, and legislate. And if it doesn't, it's going to get... I mean, we've got judgment against lastminute.com. Last Minute's Choice of Laws are in Switzerland. I can't get hold of anybody. We have paid for services which we didn't get. We've now got judgment. It's nearly 2.5 years. And a company that turns over millions upon millions doesn't give two hoots because it hasn't got any assets in England. Come on. It's outrageous. And lawyers need to be getting the message out to every MP that... it should be debating in Parliament because it's unacceptable. Ooh, that was a bit strong, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? I was waiting for the penny to drop there.
It's the unfair balance that these people are earning billions, but they can't deal with the response by the phone. It is just unacceptable.
I mean, I guess it's probably quite hard to also police as well, because I'm sure they have a flag system where if anybody says certain things, and there are certain words that are flagged up as being bad, it must go to a team.
No doubt. I'm not for 1 minute belittling the sheer number of, I mean, just think of the data involved. Just think of the millions upon millions of people. I mean, you only have to look at the outrageous treatment of the English black footballers, you know. A small number, a very small number, originated, I think, from these shores. You know, the vast majority of the racist messages were from overseas. So the data is a massive, massive problem. And I get that. But at the same time, if you're earning that type of income, then they need to address it much better. And the AI and the reliance on the algorithms will be their ultimate downfall. You know, this will split them up. And inevitably, when the politicians wake up, you know, this will be their downfall. And it's inevitable they're just getting too big for the boots. I mean, you know, we've been around, Lord it, longer than all these social media groups. And people mustn't forget that, you know, before these groups there was Friends Reunited, before these groups there was MySpace. And simply just because Facebook's been the first to market, so to speak, you know, they will have to, you know, suffer the consequences at some point and have to be deemed to be legally compliant and legally... challenged, because at the moment they're just untouchable. Anyway,
Just to summarise that point though, before moving on, I think it's important to remember that your first port of call, if you are really, really feeling the heat from someone or some people and their conduct towards you on one of these social media platforms, is to make sure that you notify the social media platform and say please. Now, all that is a case of, if you really don't know how to do it, I would say just go online and just Google, say, how do I report something to, and then Facebook or Twitter. And then it will come up with a link as to where you go to. The most important thing you have to remember is that they will ask you for the URL. So you need to make sure that you can copy and paste the actual page or that where the comment is. If you struggle with that, please, by all means, do pick up the phone, because we can point you in the right direction with that. And there's no charge for that. Literally, it will take us 2 seconds to say, this is what you need to do.
And accompanying this podcast as well, you'll see a little fact sheet. Each podcast we have, there'll be a little fact sheet with some top tips for you to deal with when it comes to...
Yeah.
If your children or, you know, brothers or sisters or anybody suffering from this type of aspect, you get in touch. Because the mental health aspect is terrifying as well.
Of course, of course.
So you can always reach out to us, and you don't have to be worried about getting a bill. You can always talk to us and we'll try and help you on that level as well. But ultimately, reach out to us and we'll go from there.
Okay. So just wanted to move on to something very, very briefly, because I can feel it on in everyone's minds of thinking, yes, okay, that's great. You've told us what we've got to do if we know the person. You've told us what goes on, you know, when it's a friend or whatever, or an ex-friend. But what happens if you don't know the person? How do you contact them? Michael?
If you don't know, or Mr. Anonymous.
Mr. Anonymous or Mrs. Anonymous has posted something. You have no idea who this person is. I mean, let's be honest. Your first thought is, well, this isn't even a real account, you know, Facebook account.
What's the position on pronouns with Anonymous?
Oh, I don't know. Ellis?
What are you asking Ellis for?
Oh, I thought you were asking generally.
What are you asking Ellis for?
Yeah, if the posting is anonymous, then we have to consider seeking a court order, requesting that the court orders the social media company or the telephone company to release that data. These companies won't release the name of the person who posted because they'll rely on GDPR, data protection. So, unfortunately, you have to go through the process of convincing the court that your claim, the damage suffered, and the facts pertaining to those two are sufficiently enough for this data to be disclosed.
And immediately that's ching ching. It's going to be costly to be able to do that. So I would always advise that your first port of call is to just go direct to the social media platform and say, please remove this post.
Those people who are considering or are worried that they have posted things anonymously, please remember, it does not mean that you will not be traced. I guarantee you, if you've made that posting to an ISP based in the UK and or the continent, that I will find out your data if I'm instructed to do so by the person who wants to know. If it's in the States, it could be slightly different because of the freedom of expression and the First Amendment. But in this country, if you post something anonymously, if I posted, I think Mark's a pedo, anonymously, and that was used by published by an English company, then and my client was determined to find out who wrote that, then I would get that data and I would be able to sue that person. So anonymous doesn't mean getting away with it. Anonymous means more trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does. We do get the odd call where someone says, oh, I've received this letter. You know, what does it mean? And then there's always just that little bit inside you when you're listening to them where they did do this. They're claiming they didn't say this, didn't say that. And the minute that you say the words, you know, well, obviously you didn't do it, so you're completely innocent. Someone's claiming it's you. Could be like a Google review, for example. The minute you say to them, well, obviously, if they have, you know, a few quid and they do actually want to seek court intervention to assist with this, they will find out if it's you or not. And then they will go quiet. And then you realise actually they did do it. They just want to thinking they're protected behind that. So it's a very different kettle of fish. And yes, OK, there could be a gulp moment if it means that there's a few pounds that's got to be spent on it. But don't let that stop you giving us a call. You know, there's sometimes other things that can be done, and we might find that there's a different avenue that can be taken. All right?
All right. Guys, Southampton team, thank you. Very useful. And thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone. And do call 02380-235-979 or email us at info@laudit.co.uk if you want to ask anything else. There will be a fact sheet next to this. So, hopefully that'll answer things for you as well. Take care. Thank you.